I feel bad to have to do this on this particular week, but I feel a certain responsibility. Torah in this coming week's parsha tells us HaKol Kol Yaakov Hayadayim Yedei Esav, that the voice is the voice of Yaakov, and the hands are the hands of the of Esav. And the Medrash tells us Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Loi said that HaKol, the Kol is the voice of Yaakov that calls out in pain as it screams from that which was done to it by the Yedei Esav. And as we sit in this particular week and we mourn the loss of such terrible, senseless life, and we mourn the tragedy that took place in Har Nof earlier this week, a person needs to stop and ask the question, what exactly is one supposed to do with those thoughts? How is one supposed to be able to put them together? The Gemara in Gittin points out that HaKol Kol Yaakov refers to a particular tragedy that took place in Alexandria at the time of the Churban. And the fact of the matter is that the Marsha over there points out that in the same way that Yaakov Avinu feared detection by his voice, the children, Masa Avo Siman Labanim, the children feared their detection as well. The fact of the matter is we're not allowed, al pi halacha, the halacha of HaKol Kol Yaakov, to hide from Achinu Kol Beis Israel, particularly in the land of Israel. We need to step up. We need to show our support. We need to be active within the process. That's what HaKol Kol Yaakov is all about. Similarly, as Rabbi Elazar Meir Teitz, the Rav of and Av Bezdin and Rosh Yeshiva of Elizabeth pointed out in a drasha that he gave last evening, Rav Teitz explained that one of the things we also could work and look at is our approach to the concept of the Bate Knesios or Bate Midrashos, the understanding that HaKol Yaakov, that the voice of Yaakov is heard best in the Bate Knesios and Bate Midrashos. And so therefore, quite honestly, when a tragedy takes place in the Bate Midrash, we have to take a focus on that as well. However, said Rabbi Teitz, he feels that that's true in a Beis HaKnesses. It's not necessarily true on top of Har HaBayis. Then finally, quite honestly, the Chidah, who points out in Parshas Vayakhel that the Gematria of Shalom is also the Gematria of Esav. The fact of the matter is that, says the Chidah, the way to deal with the Yadayim Yedei Esav is to turn around and make sure that the voices that we raise together has to be the voices of Shalom. Hence, says the Chidah, after the Chet HaEgel, Moshe Rabbeinu turns and brings the people together. Vayakel Moshe es kol hadas b'nei Yisrael. And that's really probably the most important thing for us to look at this moment in time. If the Yadayim are Yedei Esav, which are two, it's Yadayim, then we need to make sure that our kol is a single, united voice. And that with God's help, Hashem Ozli Amo Yitain, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give strength to a single united nation. Hashem Yivarech Es Amo Bashalom. The Eibishter then will be able to turn around and give a sense of shalom to his nation when we unite together. This, my dear friends, is one particular perspective on the tragedy that we are experiencing and how Chalila, should tragedy strike, how we might want to look at it and go ahead and use it. May HaKadosh Baruch Hu bring nechama to the families of the bereaved and bring refuah shlema to those who are undergoing tremendous pain and challenge at this moment. And to the almanos and the yisomim, we certainly extend our understanding that we are not alone. Yehi zichram baruch v'Hashem yinkom damam. Parshas Todos therefore begins with earlier than HaKol Kol Yaakov, with the understanding that Rivka Imenu had a difficulty having children. And the Torah tells us, Vayetar Yitzchak LaHashem Lenochach Ishto, that Yitzchak davened for his wife, Vayeyaser Lo Hashem, that Hashem answered his prayers, Vatar Rivka Ishto, and Rivka, his wife, became pregnant. And Rashi explains that the reason why Hashem answered Yitzchak was because he was a tzaddik ben tzaddik, as opposed to Rivka, who was at Tzadekes Bas Rasha. So one would assume that he was able to channel the zchus of his parents into the situation to assist his tefillah, whereas she was not able to do so. The late great Rosh Hashiva of Ofakim, Rav Chaim Kamil, Zecher Tzadik Livrach, explains that no, The reason why the tzaddik ben tzaddik has a tefillah that's heard is because it's harder to be a tzaddik ben tzaddik than to be a tzaddik ben rasha. The latter sees the ways of the parents and inherently knows not to act that way. But the tzaddik ben tzaddik needs to overcome the desire to be lazy and merely rely on schus avos. By Yitzchak using his own efforts, HaKadosh Baruch Hu heard his tefillah because it overcame a place of complacency. We also need to overcome our places of complacency in our tefillos as well. So anyway, she becomes pregnant and she experiences what she experiences. And she goes to ask Hashem, and Hashem tells her, "Shnei goyim bevitnech." She's told through at the Yeshiva Hashem Be'ever that there are two nations inside of you. When the Medrash comments that Esav was very proud of his reign, Esav was proud b'malchuso, and Yaakov was inspired b'olamo. What's the difference between being proud b'malchuso and being proud b'olamo? So Rav Shaul Yisraeli, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, commented that this is one of the fundamental differences between Esav and Yaakov. B'nei Esav focus on their own achievements, their bridges, their stadiums, their conquests, wherein might is the thing that makes right. But B'nai Yisrael was the first nation to include the concept of universality and unity in the world, tikkun olam, that is to say, to establish an international system of functioning where individual strengths are brought out to work for the greater goal of international unity. And so therefore, that's the difference between Shnei Geyim. There are two ways to be inspired. Is it the inspiration of me as opposed to everybody else in the world around me, the Esav style, the competitive style, or is it the Yaakov style where we all raise everyone up? Esav is identified as an Ish Sadeh, as a man of the field, right? Vayhi Esav Ish Yodeh Atzayid Ish Sadeh. So what does it mean to be an Ish Sadeh? Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal is quoted as describing the Ish Sadeh as the overestimation of the self and the excessive absorption with things that are shallow, with business, with politics, with things that are just very basic. Excessive Sadeh education makes a man an Ish Tzayid. If all you care about is a surface level relationship, then you have room to become a hunter, totally uninterested in the plight of its prey, because all you're interested in is your hunting abilities. I'd like to point out in that regard that one can contrast the concept of being an Ish Sadeh with Noah, who's identified as an Ish Adama. The man who is an Ish Adama has depth. Adama speaks not only to the surface level, the growth level of the field, but rather the depth that is the Adama as well. A person has to understand that if you only look at the world as a Sadeh, what can I do with it? How can I work it? How can it work for me? That's a very shallow existence, and that leads to being an Ish Tzayid, a man who is of a killing nature. We need to think on a deeper level. Anyway, so Esav goes ahead and he deals with Yaakov on that particular day, and Yaakov tells him, Mechra chayom es bechoras chali. Sell me the bechora as though it was today. What does he mean by that, chayom? So Shlomo Berman, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, one of the Rosh Yeshiva Panovich, once explained why Yaakov wanted this sale to be kayom. He explains that Esav too had to have an ideology, wherein as one who was Ish Sadeh, Esav said, so I go to work. And thus he felt deserving of the Bechora since he worked hard to get the Bechora. However, says Rav Shlomo Berman, on the day that he sold the Bechora, the Gemara in Bava Basra tells us that he committed five very serious averis separately. So on that day, Kayom, it was evident that he did not deserve the Bechora, because he didn't deserve the work that the Bechora entailed. And so Yaakov Avinu tells him, Mechra Kayom, based on the way you acted today, sell the Bechora. What do you need it for? Sell it to somebody who's more deserving. After the episode of the selling of the Bechora, we learn about how, once again, Yitzchak Avinu finds himself in the same neighborhood as his forefather, as his father Avraham, and dealing once again with the same issue of the wells. And we're told, Kol ha-be'iros asher chafru b'imei avdei Avimelech b'imei Avraham Aviv, all the wells that the servants of Avimelech had dug up during Avraham Avinu's life, sitmum plishtim b'imalum afar, the plishtim had filled them in with dirt. And the great Rav Moshe Wolfson Shalita examines why the Torah includes the well story here at all. And he explains that there are many parts of the job of bringing a sense of HaKadosh Baruch Hu into this world. To those people who say that there's no point, they merely throw dirt on the efforts to build a Beis HaMikdash in this world. To those people who understand that unless you are, that say that if you go to work, and through your work you're Mekadosh Shem Shamayim, that this too is part of the process of building a Beis HaMikdash. Such individuals who believe in such a system are definitely, says Rav Moshe Wolfson, correct. However, says Rav Moshe, those who turn and say back to them, you're also useless. Remember, the Plishtim were those who were Meslotzeitz. They believed in joking around. And in that process, what did they do? They are Sitmum by Yimalum Afar. All they do is take efforts to dig depth into the world, and they fill it up with dirt. They're part of their own destructive nature. We need the opposite. There are a lot of different facets of Avodas Hashem. And whatever it is that we do, we need to be Ovdei Hashem. And we need to make sure that when others are mislotzates, they make fun of our efforts. We need to turn around and we need to say, no, we're not going to allow it to have, we're not going to be cast with dirt upon us. I noted before the famous pasuk, HaKol Kol Yaakov Bayadayim Yidei Esav. There is a well-known medrash that points out that when Yaakov's voice is heard in the Bate Knesios and Bate Midrashos, in Yadu Shal Esav Shotos Behem, and the question has to be begged, that the hands and the voice both ruled in the same person standing before Yitzchak Avinu. Wasn't Yaakov Avinu being Sholeit B'Yadav and being Sholeit B'Kolo at the same time? So how could Yitzchak then turn around and bless the man who is really Yaakov, if both the Adayim and the Kol were equally potent? After all, wasn't that the stira that Yitzchak Avinu was identifying within the person standing before him who was Yaakov? So, the late great Rav Yoel Schwartz of Poltova, who is not a relative, explains that when the voice of Yaakov is dominant, when Kol Kol Yaakov is the dominant voice, then the Adayim Yidei Esav are not even part of a consideration. That is to say, it's not Yidei Esav when the Kol is Sholeit. And the same thing is true when the hands and the voice are found in two different people in the future. When the Kol is Sholeit, there is no Yidei Esav. It's not that one is defeating the other. It's such an insignificant component, it's not even identified. Finally, at the end of the parsha, we find out that Esav goes ahead and took Machalas Bas Yishmael. And Rashi notes that we learned that when he married her, he got a Mechilas Avonos. Alternatively, Rashi cites the Yerushalmi that points out that Hosef Rishas al Rishuso, he added an evil nature by marrying this woman. So, which is it? Is Machalas Bas Yishmael supposed to be a positive statement, Mechilas Avonos? Or is it supposed to be an embarrassing statement, a statement of recognition that he added evil? Which was Machalas Bas Yishmael? Samari V'Rabbi Rav Shechter was off to explain that there's a difference that comes down to the understanding of tshuva at one's chasna. It's not a get-out-of-jail-free card. When a person goes ahead and gets married or does one of the other activities that we're told, mochlin lo alko avonosav, then that is all dependent upon whether a person does tshuva. If one does tshuva, then kapara can be achieved on the day of the wedding or in other similar circumstances. But if the person doesn't use that experience as a mode to tshuva and a move to tshuva, then the issue is an addition of evil. It's hosef rishus al rishuso. Finally, the Shabbos is a Shabbos the day before Rosh Chodesh. Sunday will be Rosh Chodesh Kislev. And the Torah, in those situations, the status is that we read the Haftorah of Machar Chodesh. And the question has to be raised why we have a special Haftorah for the day before Rosh Chodesh. We don't have it for the day before any other Yomim Tovim. So I've quoted before in the name of Rabbi Soloveitchik that there are striking similarities between the Areach, the moon, and the Jewish people. Just like the moon, right after it hits its nadir, it begins a rapid ascent towards a new beginning. The Jewish people can take solace in their darkest moments, that Machar Chodesh v'nifkadeta, tomorrow will be a new day, a Yom Shekulo Aruch. The fact of the matter is that it seems this week that almost as if we've hit once again a nadir. Machar Chodesh, Chazak v'nischazek b'yad amenu b'yad eloke arei elokeinu. Machar chodesh v'nifkadeta. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should bench each and every one of us, our entire families and all of Am Yisrael with nechama, complete nechama, with besoros tovos, yeshuos v'nechamos. And may HaKadosh Baruch Hu make sure that this particular episode be the kates l'chotzar oseinu.